I'm Rich Young III, and this is An Amazing Thing. I am here to facilitate learning the Word of God on a fundamental level. So join me and let's grow together and build a relationship with our Creator. And that starts now. Hey, hello everyone, welcome to An Amazing Thing. Thank you for joining me today. This is our early week show where we deal with Bible prophecy, special lessons, current events, things happening around the world that let us know where we are on God's prophetic time clock. The title of this show is Trump's China Trip, The Tales of Two World Leaders. This is not an accident that this is The Tales. The Tales is a poker term that lets poker players know whether someone's giving something away, whether they're concealing something. Do they have a great hand or are they bluffing? Well, that's why we named this show that, because of the trip of these two world leaders. I remember when I was a kid, my dad had this friend that lived in another city who would come down once a year, once every couple of years, and he loved playing poker. And he would ask my dad to get the guys together for the big poker game. And my dad was talking to his business partner and inviting him to the game. And he says, "I don't think I want to play." And my dad says, "Why?" He says that "I don't have any extra money to give that man. And I just can't seem to win any of the games when I'm playing against him." And my dad says, "Well, you should come. And let me let you in on a little bit of a secret. When he has a great hand, he starts talking loud. When he doesn't have anything or he's bluffing, his hands start to shake." And that's the kind of thing we're talking about here, the tales, the things that let us know what we're dealing with in people that are not spoken. President Trump and his entrance to China. President Trump lands Air Force One in China and gets off the plane with the 30 most influential businessmen in the world, with Trump leading them. This certainly is a magnificent beginning to President Trump's summit with the Chinese leader. Trump proceeds to shower compliments praising President Xi. Now, in the Chinese culture, this is something that allows President Xi to feel a little bit at ease about what he may have felt threatened by, you know, in the arrival of President Trump and all of his splendor with those businessmen and his cabinet members. President Trump exhibiting this gracious compliment-laden greeting allows President Xi to receive what they refer to as face. That's the respect that is shown to him and something that he takes seriously. And the people of his country also take seriously. In their culture, that's a serious thing. Trump has already preloaded the expectations by telling the world how good of friends he is with President Xi. Trump was lowering the pressure in the room before he even got there by saying and doing this, going on all the news sources, telling them these things. Trump calls President Xi a great leader, which again is an expression of face, which gives President Xi credibility in hosting this meeting and does not hurt President Trump at all. And to give President Xi this dignified, respectful compliment actually makes things and lowers the temperature in the room and helps Trump to be at ease and get some of the things that he wants or to see how he will fare in this meeting with him. President Trump has dealt with the most powerful men of business in the world. And this is commonplace for him to show a flattering side of himself. And it does nothing to take anything away from him. And he's learned that by President Trump allowing President Xi the impression of face shown to him, they can continue their meeting. And President Xi doesn't have to dig in to get what he wants. And President Trump so humbly and powerfully extends this to begin with. As soon as he gets there, he's showering him with compliments. These kinds of tactics Trumps have used are amazingly graceful. And it may look one way on the outside, but it's amazing on the inside what this does in a meeting, especially with two people who really don't know a lot about each other. But we'll find out. This is President Xi's and what he's doing. He greeted President Trump's arrival there in Beijing, China. And the look on his face is that of not knowing what to expect from the American president, which is something somewhat unusual for Xi. Xi usually has an opinion about people before he comes to a meeting with them, and he doesn't. There's no surprises. So he is, in this case, somewhat at a disadvantage by not knowing President Trump being a wild card, if you will. President Xi's being, he's an authoritarian leader, and he thrives on being respected. And it's certainly, he would certainly recognize if, or a slight, or something that he would consider a slight to make him look subservient to any leader that he was meeting with, if not in reality in his own mind, I put it that way. President Xi knows very little about President Trump that he can be sure of, and wanted to see how he would respond to strength, especially statements that he made concerning Taiwan. He deliberately made those statements just to see a reaction from President Trump. You would see President Xi losing himself a little bit when he was showing President Trump some things around his gardens and whatnot. He would sort of lose himself. You find him smiling and letting go a little. And then he would try to regain his posture because he may see letting go as a sign of weakness when it's just being human, really. President Xi's interaction with President Trump shows that he does respect President Trump and the strength and the posture that President Trump shows so naturally. He just walks around as if he's in charge, and he is just, he carries that type of demeanor. President Xi would sometimes just, he'd let go, and then he'd try to quickly remain his same steadfast self. You know, President Xi's other world leaders and interactions with them and former presidents are much different than they were with President Trump. When dealing with world leaders that President Xi sees as inferior to him or some people he doesn't respect, he always looks like he's smelling something all the time. And you can see that in just his expression. But he didn't look like that with President Trump, which shows that he respects President Trump. For what we can see concerning the meeting between these two leaders, it comes down to two men sizing each other up to see what they can get away with concerning territories, allies, enemies, exports, and military prowess. So that's the basically what they're looking at each other to determine. A lot of the tales that we perceive from people come from what other people have told us about the people that we're meeting with. And we trust the things that people we know tell us, and they become our perceptions, not just their perceptions, but we adapt them. Well, this person told me this about him. I trust this person. And to me, that's a thing that leads to a lot of misconceptions about people. You know, we don't know what experiences people have had to lead them to think a certain thing, or a certain movement they had makes me feel slighted in some way. So, you know, but a lot of people use that as a part of what their perception is. What we perceive about others affect what we do and what we believe about them. And so a lot of that comes from our perception. It doesn't have to be true. Ultimately, those behaviors and interactions, the tales, become fact because perception becomes reality in most of our lives. That's just a part of it. Let's see how Bible prophecy weaves its way through what we're discussing today. This is Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. 200,000,000 is 200 million soldiers. The sixth trumpet is the next thing on God's prophetic time clock, which I just read in the scripture. And that's to slay a third part of the human race. Now, different translations, some say a third part of men. Some say the third part of mankind. But most would agree it's talking about the human race here. This scripture refers to four horns of the golden altar, which I believe means death. Because when they would sacrifice the animal that was slain for the sacrifice, they would hang it on those horns. And so I think that's what that's referring to. I'm not steadfast on that, but I believe that's what that means as it relates to this scripture we just read. There are four countries that house the Euphrates River. We learn through scripture, specifically the scripture of Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, that each country has their primary ministering angel. And there are four angels bound in the Euphrates River, which certainly is a point to ponder. When you got four angels bound where there's four countries, and we know that each country has its own primary ministering spirit, that would lend credibility to what we're talking about here. The belief system in these countries is already turbulent, volatile, and violent. And so when these angels are released, you know, angels are ministering spirits. We ain't never seen ones like these ones. You know, there were angels that were released during World War II, and we saw Stalin and killing so many, and Adolf Hitler and all those people killing so many people. But these have to be chained up for a specific time. So we've never seen ministering angels like these. We are presently fighting a war with one of these countries in the Euphrates River, Iran. And they constantly are threatening their neighbors with rockets and drones. And so certainly this thing could get out of hand with these. If it does, other countries that house the Euphrates River, you know, such as Syria, Turkey, and Iraq, could join in and embroil the United States of America into a farther conflict in this region. And the scriptures tell us that one of the countries that would be involved ultimately is a country of 200,000,000, which is the number of soldiers that John heard. John, the writer of the book of Revelation, heard that number. He couldn't count them all. So God had to tell him how many it was, which China has boasted in the past. They could supply that. Mao Zedong said we could put 200 million soldiers on the battlefield. Now, when he said this, it was 50 years ago, war was fought in much more conventional ways in our minds back then. But I don't think it's accidental that he would say that. And we know that Mao Zedong was an atheist. He wasn't reading the Bible. So he knew that he could put that many. And they have a great population that they could field that many. And so that certainly brings a view into our lesson today of how we tie these things together. When four ministering angels, which are bound at this moment, are loose to minister evil, not just confined to this particular region, but a large portion of the world would be influenced by these angels, and their populations would equal billions needed to fulfill this prophecy to enter this conflict. And that's nothing we've ever conceived in our minds to prepare for. How do you prepare for something like that? You know, nothing like this has ever happened on the earth before, so we don't know how to prepare for it. Now, we know that most of the countries believe even a superpower can only fight on two fronts at one particular time. And if it happens in this conflict, the United States is occupied by more than one front, China would certainly try to take Taiwan, which is the next thing that China is just, they want so badly. That certainly would take the lid off of this war that the Bible says will kill 1/3 of mankind. And that's how dangerous this whole thing is. Taiwan would probably be the X factor that determines where the relationship between United States and China ultimately would turn, and probably very badly. China considers Taiwan a province of one single China. Taiwan sees themselves as an independent entity. They certainly don't want to be absorbed into a province of China or be a part of China at all. So they certainly don't want that, and would certainly fight to try to prevent that. Well, the tales of this meeting of these two world leaders, along with the ministering of these evil spirits that are bound in the Euphrates River, are certainly means that we could enter into what the Bible says will result in 2.8 billion people entering into eternity. We'll be right back after this message. In our fast-paced world, we're constantly bombarded with news reports from around the world. But none of those traditional news sources understand what's going on in the world from a biblical perspective. So here at An Amazing Thing, we'll bring to you special reports that we like to call moments of clarity. When events happen around the world that relate to Bible prophecy and where we are on God's prophetic time clock, we will bring you that report and explain how it does. So subscribe to An Amazing Thing, and you won't miss a thing. If you'd like to give to the show to help us defray the cost and continue to bring you a quality product, you can do so by going to anamazingthing.com. Click the drop-down bar. There you'll find donate, and you'll find everything you need. Thank you for all you're doing. God bless you. Keep listening. Be amazing. Thank you all for being a part of An Amazing Thing. And remember, our end of the week show is where we answer your questions that you submit one of two ways. You can email those questions at questions@anamazingthing.com. Our voice message number is area code 214-699-9045. Get those questions in, and thank you for being a part of An Amazing Thing. Well, everybody, thank you for joining me on this early week edition of our show here. Make sure you tell your friends to listen to the show, subscribe to the show, because we'll continue to bring you the show is 3 times per week. We're trying to become more consistent in that as we prepare things to be able to do so. But thank you for being a part of An Amazing Thing. We love you. Thank you. God bless. Well, everyone, that brings us to the end of our show today. I hope you found this show a blessing. Be sure and subscribe to the show, however you receive your podcast and video content. Be sure and tell your friends and family. Be safe, and we'll see you next time. And remember, make it an amazing day today. We'll see you next time.